everybody.
This is Kim.
And this is Cal. And you're listening to Shiny Things.
We're back.
We're back again.
It's like a bad penny. Right? We were gone, but we're back now, bitch.
We need to write a book about the last year and a half, because
nobody wants to read that. I didn't even want to live that, let alone read that.
It's like, when I think about it, I'm like, wow, we've had a lot of, like, random ass shit happen to us in the last...
It's been a shitty year.
I think the 2020s just suck.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for the 2030s.
Don't rush my life along.
No, I don't want to either, but, like, can't we just, like, daytime savings, like...
Would be kind of cool if we could... Did you ever see I Dream of Jeannie?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want to date myself. Anyway, they had that machine that you could crank, and then you could see your future.
Right.
I don't really know if I want to see my future, because if it hasn't gotten any better...
Right. So, I didn't claim 2020 as my year, and I found this meme on Facebook, and it was like... We want to read the terms and conditions before we accept what we're walking into. And so far, 2022 has been so mean to me.
I know you have had a kind of a rough start to the year.
Like, one morning, I wake up and I'm like, I smell burning garlic. Smells like somebody's just, like, cooking burning garlic. And I was like, oh my god, something's on fire. And I'm looking all around the house. I wake Az up. I'm like, do you smell anything? She goes, I smell farts. And I was like, no, what do you smell? I was like, wake up and smell. And she's like, okay, I'm waking up. And then she goes, it just smells like skunk. And I was like, I smell burning garlic. And I'm, like, opening all the doors and stuff like that because... I'm Googling what burning garlic, and they're like, oh, it could be a propane leak, it could be this, it could be that. So I'm, like, freaking out, opening all the windows. I call the gas company to come and look. In the meantime, I call the fire department for them to come and look.
Well, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Right. And so then we go, and we're sitting at the neighbor's house because... If it's a gas leak, we don't want to be there. And Az was worried about the cats. I was like, we just let the cats outside. The explosion will scare them off, but they'll come back. So then the fire department gets here way before the gas company. And the guy goes, smells like skunk. Oh. And I was like, yeah, I know. And he's like, yeah, I don't think this is propane. But I shut the propane off. And they're like looking around. And... there's a spot out back that had a piece of wood on it that, like, something can get into the crawl space through there. And he stepped on that, and then he opens the crawl space, and he's like, wow, I got a big whiff of it. And I was like, I'm embarrassed, first off, because I just called the fire department and all these other people in because of a skunk.
I can see that, but it's better to be safe than sorry.
Well, that's what the guy said. He's like, we love these calls. And then he was, like, telling us how he stepped on the thing and the skunk, like, sprayed again.
Oh.
And it was because it was coming. They were under the crawl space where the heater is, and every time the heat would run, it would send it up.
It's
and
pretty
I,
smart, though. You got, you know.
Well, I looked at him, and I was like, you just hotboxed me. And the one guy, he wants to laugh. I was like, please laugh, because I'm so embarrassed. And he goes, I thought it was a Dutch oven. And I was like, listen, sir, a Dutch oven's when you pull the blanket up over somebody's head and you fart. And then you hold the blanket there. I was like, a hot box is when you get the entire room. Or in my case, my entire house. And they're laughing. And
you
they're...
schooled them on farts.
I did. So I felt better. I was like... Well, now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
I would have felt stupid, too, but you know what? Like, you know, what if you didn't call because you were, like, thinking, I don't want to be stupid, I don't want to be embarrassed, and your house blew up?
Right.
You wouldn't be doing any thinking then.
No. And then I wouldn't be able to do my career in stripping because, you know, I'm going to get in shape this year and...
Going to make some extra money down on the corner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not when you're all, like, bubbly and stuff because you got burnt.
Yeah, that's never good.
Yeah. That's a very specific strip club you got to work for. But, yeah, it was fun because then we got to sleep at Nana and Pop's house for the entire weekend.
Well, it's like a vacation.
Yeah, well, because Az can't, like, the smell of vinegar makes her gag, and one of the things to get the smell of skunk out was to boil vinegar and leave bowls of vinegar all over the house.
I mean, that I would think that that would, ugh.
Yeah.
Either smell is pretty gross.
Well, by the end of the day, like, I looked like I was high. Like, my eyes were all red and dry. Yeah, I was high on vinegar. I don't recommend it. It was not a good high. Especially when I, like, leaned over the plate, like, the boiling pot just to see how much was in there. It was like, I took a big inhale in and I was like, ugh. Oh my god. I was like, if there was anything growing in there, we're good.
That's a pretty potent smell because that's how we descale the coffee maker.
Yeah.
With vinegar and water, and then you run it through clear water, but it's still like really strong even when you're running the water through it.
Right, and when you do like the little Easter egg thing, you don't put a ton of vinegar in there, but like vinegar makes me think of St. Patrick's Day because people put it on the cabbage.
Yes, I do.
And then they put it on the Easter eggs too. So yeah, that was fun. So I had to sleep at my parents' house like a child with my child.
I don't know, but I would think like the first couple nights it would probably be like kind of cool because it's like you're staying at a bed and breakfast.
No, we slept on couches because my grandma has our old bedroom.
Oh, and then there's grandma.
Yeah. And Sammy and Mike. So it was a long week.
I bet it was. Especially not having your own things.
And then I had to like do all this laundry, which is sitting behind me, that I have to still put away. And this was weeks ago now.
What the hell do it?
That bitch fairy has not been showing up.
It's hard to find good help these days.
Yeah, so it was like this, and so I remember, you know, Smelly Kelly would be things that, you know, like my family would call me, or
that's
Kelly
mean.
Belly and things like that. So I lived up to my Smelly Kelly name.
Well, you didn't really. And just so everybody knows, and I know, you caught it, right?
Yes. There were two of those little fuckers under there.
Oh, my God.
Because I heard something.
Oh, they're so cute.
They are so cute, because then they sprayed again, and I, like, automatically just opened the windows and started boiling vinegar. And I went outside, and there was a trap under the porch, and I'm, like, taking pictures, because it was dark and I couldn't see. And
but it was a have-a-heart?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had the have-a-heart out there, and then we had a big have-a-heart in the crawl space. So I knew she was out there, and I was like, okay, that's fine. And we called the people. I stayed home so I could let the pest remover guy know that the other one was down there. I feel so bad for the big one in the key. He must have been the male, because he was huge. And I felt bad, like, when I opened the crawl space door, I wasn't expecting to see him, but I kept hearing this noise. And I go down, and, like, between, there was, like, a little step, and there's, like, a little twig hanging out from between there, and he's just, like, sitting out there, like, batting his paw at the twig. And I was like,
keeping himself occupied until somebody came to his rescue.
And I was like, aw, I feel bad for you, but you fuckers stink, and now I have to do the whole thing over again.
Oh, well, the good thing is it was a have a heart, because I wouldn't want them to be killed just because they smell.
No, and somewhere in New York, apparently, there's a big colony of skunks because they bring them and drop them off in a specific place.
Get out of here.
So that's why I'm like, because that's all they kept saying. They're like, it's humane, it's humane. I was like, that's, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but what if they have babies and you took them away from their mommy and daddy?
No, we left the traps out for another week, so like we caught them Monday or Tuesday, and then we left the traps there in case they came out looking, so that way the babies would have gotten trapped.
So you don't
as
think
well.
There were babies?
No, because now it's their breeding season.
Oh, okay. All right, happy ending. The mother and father, or the boy and the girl, are together.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be making new friends.
I think they were just having too much fun down there, and
hopefully you don't get another set down there. Hopefully your luck is about to change.
I was like, and then, you know, my motto, it could be worse.
I know. And every time you say that, I'm like, And it probably will be.
You're like, don't say that anymore.
Yeah, really.
I don't know, though, because you have a story.
I do, and this mom has it, or had it, a lot worse than you did. So, you know what? It could be worse, Kelly. So, this woman I'm going to talk about today, she was actually dubbed Germany's revenge mother. Her name is Marianne Bachmeier. And she's a single mom, or she was a single mom, of a 7-year-old daughter named Anna. And she made her living running a bar. Well, they call it a pub over there. Mm-hmm. In Lübeck, Germany. And obviously, you know, being a single mother, life isn't easy. But it definitely got worse for her. And it actually got worse for her on May 5th, 1980, when the day started out like any other day, except she and her daughter Anna had a disagreement of some kind that resulted in Anna skipping school.
At 7 years old.
I know, that's what I said too. I would have never had the nerve to disobey my mom or dad, mm-hmm. and not go to school, and then what would I do?
Right.
You know? It's like, they're going to know. They know everything. You know, you could cough and you're like a mile away and my mom would be like, are you feeling okay?
Right. And in Germany, they're hardcore.
Yeah, they're tough. They're made of a tough stock over there. So I'm guessing it didn't really go into detail, but I'm guessing she skipped school to annoy her mother. I don't know, 7 years old, I mean.
Or she thought she was
kind of odd.
Right.
And from what I've read, Anna was on her way to her friend's house, so I'm assuming her friend skipped school too.
Oh.
So yeah. What I'm thinking what they had planned was she would leave for school like she normally would because mm-hmm. her mom ran a pub. Her mom probably worked evenings or nights.
Oh, right.
So by the time Anna came home, her mom would already be gone. So I guess that was her plan, to go to her friend's house. But on her way there, she was abducted by her then 35-year-old neighbor and a local butcher. His name was Claus Grambowski. So Grambowski took her to his house and kept her there for several hours before he strangled her with a pair of tights. He then put Anna's body in a cardboard box and buried her in a shallow grave, where she was found a short time later on a nearby canal bank. And he was ultimately arrested later that evening after his fiancée ratted him out to the police, which I'm wondering, and it didn't say anything in any of the articles that I read, that the fiancé ratted him out, but why didn't she say something when the kid was at the house?
Maybe she was at work and found out later?
I'm hoping that.
That's what...
Because she was never brought into this. She was never arrested.
That's why I'm thinking it was probably she was at work and came home and saw everything.
Found that he wasn't a good guy. So soon after being arrested for the murder, Grabowski gave some bullshit story saying Anna tried to seduce him and threatened to tell her mom that he had molested her if he didn't give her money. And that's why he killed her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So not only is she 7 years old and skipping school, she's trying to extort money from the next door neighbor and knows what the meaning of molesting and knows how to put the whole scenario together. Okay. So he confessed to the murder but denied any sexual abuse. She was 7 years old. And what would she know about seducing someone?
Well, that's, I like at seven, if you were like, hey, do you want to come see my kittens? I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. You want to see what's under my skirt and flip your skirt up, but you don't. You just don't put things together like that at 7 years old. Yeah. That's more of a grown up.
Especially in the way that he puts it, it's like Aswin. No, As is 10, and Aswin know how to like figure.
So unless this is a very mature 7 year old, I mean,
I think he's full of shit.
I think he's full of shit too. So whether or not he sexually assaulted her remains unknown, but I bet he did, and here's why. In 1973, he was placed on probation for a year for trying to strangle a six-year-old girl.
What?
Yes, I said probation. Can you even...
It's like attempted murder.
Attempt to strangle somebody and you get probation for a year. And then in the mid-70s, he was incarcerated for sexually abusing two young girls. And so Grabowski was a convicted sex offender. And that's why I call bullshit. Yeah, I know it in my heart that he sexually abused her.
Right.
He didn't just take her to take her. So I also read that during his incarceration, he volunteered for chemical castration, which I never even heard of before.
It's crazy.
At the time, sex offenders in Germany often underwent chemical castration, which is the less invasive procedure that I know, and it inhibited the sex drive and depraved thoughts, opposed to the surgical castration, where they just go in there and rip those bad boys out. And then it's a done deal. They're not growing back. They're going for good.
I think the surgical way should be the way it's done.
I said that too. I think that they should do that more often. But so, and I also heard that Grabowski had begun hormone treatments to reverse the effects of the castration prior to killing little Anna. So this fucker was... like,
well, I'm sure his fiance. But then again, what's wrong with her?
Yeah, really. I'm telling you, there's something.
Because if I had, well, maybe she didn't know about his track record, but I'd be like, no, you just need to go somewhere.
And maybe, I mean, maybe I'm just putting it out there. Maybe he was starting to reverse the effects of the chemical castration because of this girlfriend.
Right.
Because honestly, I'm just going to say it. I'm not versed to what goes on here, but if you have been chemical castrated, can you, as a man, can you still perform and not have your head in it? Like,
yeah, because it says, you know, you said that it inhibits the sex drive and stops the thoughts. But inhibit and completely stop.
Yeah. So you can still... I'm trying to be as sensitive as I possibly can with my wording, but I mean, honestly, I don't think that that's going to happen.
Yeah, they look
so, at... So, can you still get it up as a man if you've been chemically castrated?
I would
or
think,
does it completely, like...
I would think
emasculate
so. Because it doesn't change the blood flow or anything like that. It just says inhibits.
So he could have started doing that because he had a girlfriend, or he just wanted to be a fucker and start abusing little kids again.
Right.
So, Kelly, here's a fun fact. Indonesia, the Czech Republic, and the Ukraine also punish sex offenders with chemical castration. But Nigeria, no, those are the badasses. They decided to take it a step further in 2020 and initiate surgical castration. I'm with them.
Yeah. Especially, like, repeat offenders. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, we need it because if... I mean, there was... So where we live right now, a couple summers ago, they let out a couple of sex offenders. And they were back in jail within 2 weeks because they went and did what they did. So it's like, it's obviously either a disease or something, but if they can't help themselves, either put them behind bars or you gotta do something else.
Cut it off. Don't just yank those little, balls out. Right. I mean,
eye for an eye, man.
Done with it. So, anywho.
So, yeah, like I said, we need it in the States here because I think it would.
It's Aunt Kelly. And it's funny you should mention that because up until I started researching for this episode, I didn't realize that chemical castration was even a thing, let alone in this country. It's actually happening here in the U.S. Some of the states, now it's not like every single state, but it's actually happening in the states. So, I looked it up to find out, obviously, you know, it's not New York.
Yeah. But
California does it, Florida, Louisiana, Georgia, Texas. That doesn't surprise me.
I was going to say Texas does not surprise
me. Because they are badass. So, I mean, I'm thinking that maybe if it was more nationwide or even worldwide, maybe it would cut back a lot on sex offenders.
Yeah, just like that thought in your head, like, well, yeah.
If I get caught, I'm not going to have a dick no more.
Right.
Or balls.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was a little much.
No. I think it was fine.
So, anyway. Grombowski's defense attorney claimed he acted out of a hormonal imbalance that was caused by hormone therapy he received after voluntarily agreeing to the chemical castration years earlier, and therefore he couldn't help himself. I think his defense attorney should have been chemically castrated for using that as his defense. Just saying. What the hell? How can you fucking sleep at night representing someone you know is a sex offender,
right,
and trying to get him off?
He was caught trying to strangle a 6-year-old, and yeah, then he goes and finds a 7-year-old. It's like, he obviously has a type.
What is the matter with this defense attorney? What is your problem that you need money so badly that you're going to represent somebody that you know is a child molester?
Right.
You are fucked up.
Yeah, I would be like, no, thank you, sir.
That's just, I mean, I just don't get it. I'm getting wound up.
But then, this is Germany. I don't know if Germany deals, like, once they're in jail, I don't know if Germany deals with sex offenders, especially with little kids like they do here in the States. Because if you get put in Gen Pop and they find out what you did.
I'm pretty sure it's like that across the board.
Especially in Germany, I'd love to think that, because they're, like I said, they don't fuck around.
Yeah, they do not fuck around. So anyway, I'm sure you can understand, Marianne Bachmeier was beyond pissed at Grombowski's story. And a year later, on the third day of the trial, Marianne got her revenge for the murder of little Anna when she took a .22 caliber Beretta out of her purse and shot him 6 times. And I'm sure you've also figured out that he died on the courtroom floor.
Good for her.
That's what I said. Bachmeier made no attempt to flee. She basically just waited for the authorities to detain her. So the way I figure it was, she knew what the consequences were going to be. And a side note, Marianne allegedly bought the gun to take her own life, but obviously she changed her mind. And you know what? Good decision.
Right.
You know what? I don't want to say to everybody, you know, if something's wrong or somebody does you dirty, go out there and get revenge, be a vigilante. But you know what? Any parent can understand what she did.
She lost the only thing in her life.
Exactly.
So what else does she have to lose?
And I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. But
if I was in her situation, I'd can't say I wouldn't do the same thing.
So the judge presiding over the case heard the grieving mother say, "I wanted to kill him," and allegedly continued by saying, "He killed my daughter. I wanted to shoot him in the face, but I only got him in the back. I hope he's dead."
Good for her.
That's what I'm saying. She knew what she was doing.
And look at all the money she's saving the justice system.
Yep. The trial for her daughter's murder took a hard turn, and on the second day of November 1982, Marianne was charged with first-degree murder. But days later, the state prosecutor suggested the charge be dropped to manslaughter due to the circumstances surrounding the case, which I think that was a smart thing to do.
Agreed.
Marianne's attorney still argued that she wasn't responsible for her actions because of the severe stress she was under. But the prosecution wasn't having it and said that Marianne knew exactly what she was doing and acted out of revenge, which I can't really argue with.
She was pretty clear about wanting to kill him.
I didn't say she was wrong to do it, but she knew what she was doing and she knew she was going to have to pay a price.
Right.
So, I mean, you take your lumps. Own it. So during her trial, Bachmeier testified she had shot Grabowski in a dream and saw a vision of her daughter in the courtroom. Okay. A doctor who examined her said that she was asked for she was asked to give them a handwriting sample, and in response she wrote, "I did it for you, Anna." She then decorated the sample with 7 hearts, which most people thought were the hearts for each year of Anna's life. So 2 things. At that point, I'm sure she was numb and her feelings were, like, beyond raw. So of course she was dreaming about her daughter in the outcome of the trial. She was probably dreaming it, like, every single night over and over and over again. So that seemed pretty normal to me. But I don't understand why a handwriting sample was needed. And it wasn't explained in any of the research that I did. Were they trying to see if she was mentally unbalanced through her handwriting? I don't understand that part. You're pretty smart, Cal. Do you?
That's all right, so she's got a courtroom full of witnesses. She says, "I wanted to kill him. I wanted to shoot him in the face, but the best I could do was shoot him in the back."
Right.
She basically admitted it. So first off, why are we wasting time on a trial?
Right.
Let alone, like, what's the handwriting sample?
She didn't deny it. She wasn't crazy. She knew exactly what she was doing.
So what do you need handwriting? I love that. Like, when they're like, you know, there's cases where it's like, well, you know, we found this note and they don't look into, like, any handwriting stuff. But here it's like, she's telling you.
Yeah, I did it. And I hope he's dead.
How could she not admit it? Like, she could have...
She wasn't trying to run away. She wasn't trying to plead that she was mentally incapable
of making a decision. And good on her for that. Like, yeah, for not being like, I was insane. No, I wanted to fucking kill him.
I don't know what I did. No, you know what? If somebody did something like that to my daughter, you know what? I'd own it. Yep, I killed the bastard. I'll take my lumps.
Right.
I mean...
I'll sit in jail.
I think I give this woman a lot of credit.
I could work on my doctorate.
There you go, and you won't have to pay for your schooling.
Right.
So, anyway, Marianne was at the center of a very public shitstorm.
Oh, I bet.
Her trial went international. Everybody knew about it. Mostly all of the German population showed understanding for her actions, while some called it brutal act of vigilantism. I agree with all that. Just still don't think she was wrong.
Right.
So was Marianne a distraught mother avenging the death of her child, or did her act of vigilantism make her a cold-blooded killer? I think both.
Mm-hmm.
Many expressed sympathy towards her motives, but condemned her for her actions nonetheless. In addition to the ethical challenge of the case, there is also a legal debate about the shooting and whether it was premeditated or not, and whether it was murder or manslaughter. Different rules carry different punishments, as we all know. But was it premeditated? Absolutely.
Yeah.
She knew what she was going to do. She might not have bought that gun with the intention of killing him. They said she wanted to kill herself, which, again, I get.
Right.
But yeah, she knew what she was doing when she brought that gun in the courtroom. I don't think anybody, I don't think that she would debate that.
No, she admitted it. She's like, I wanted to kill him, and I wanted to shoot him in the face.
And honestly, was it murder or was it manslaughter? Now, manslaughter is, it's like, I think what it is it's an accidental death. Like, you didn't intend for it to happen.
Like, I was cleaning the gun and it went off and...
And murder is just murder. And
I'm leaning towards murder.
I am, too.
It's not like he was coming at her and she, like,
right.
had self-defense. So, she went in knowing what she was going to do.
So I think that it was premeditated, and it was murder. And again, I'm not picking on her.
No. Because I could play devil's advocate for both sides.
Yeah.
Because if this would have been one of those things, I guarantee, because they only give him a year probation for trying to, like, attempted murder.
Yeah.
And he got 1 year probation.
1 year.
And what would they have given, like, okay, you got to spend some time in jail. Like, no. So, right. I mean, she probably gave him a better sentence than what they would have.
I agree.
Because that's the thing. It was like, he's taking these hormones so he's able to go out and do this again. So, he was a danger to society.
He was. And I think she did the society a solid.
And look, you fuck with my kid,
you're going to get the same treatment that this woman gave
right.
her child's murderer. So,
I just worry about pickles.
I'll take care of them.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Deal.
Yeah, I'll take care of them. So anyway, Bachmeier allegedly had to sell... She didn't have to, but she sold her story to help cover her legal expenses for what is approximately $145,000 U.S. dollars to a German magazine called Stern, who ran a series of articles about the trial and Bachmeier's rough life, which read like a sad novel, Kelly. It's really sad.
Aww.
So, just briefly, her parents split when she was really young, and her mother ended up remarrying, and it was not a happy home. She was actually kicked out of her house when she was a very young teenager, and was left to fend for herself. She ended up working as a barmaid in her teens, Kelly. And then, and this is before she actually became pregnant at 16. So she's, like, got to be at least 15 working in a bar.
Right. Damn.
So, she had a girl. And then when she was 18, she got pregnant again by her then boyfriend. But prior to the birth of her second daughter, she was raped at a disco.
Poor lady.
So she had actually given up both babies for adoption shortly after each was born.
Mm-hmm.
But when she became pregnant with her third child and gave birth to her on November 14th, 1972, she decided to keep the baby and raise it on her own. In 1983, Marianne was convicted of premeditated manslaughter and was sentenced to 6 years behind bars.
That's nothing. 6 years? Especially when you have nothing waiting for you on the outside.
Yep, but here's the other thing.
You'd have to bring pickles for little visits.
Oh, sure. You can do that. Day visits. You just have to make sure he's on your list.
Oh, yeah. I'll put him on there.
In June 1985, Marianne was released from prison after serving only 3 years of her sentence.
That's amazing.
I know. That's great. So, I think under the circumstances, that time was just plenty enough.
She learned her lesson. She knew what she was doing.
She probably thought, you're not teaching me a lesson. I did it on purpose.
Right.
So, After her release, she ended up getting married and moved to Nigeria with her teacher husband and remained there until she and her husband divorced in 1990. And then she ended up moving to Sicily, where she stayed until she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She ended up returning to Germany and made an appearance on a TV talk show where she explained why she shot Gombrowski and that it was only after careful consideration that she did and why, saying she wanted to enforce the law on him. She took law into her own hands and to stop him from spreading lies about Anna.
Good for her.
What a mother does, they stick up for their kid. Marianne died on September 17, 1996, at the age of 46. She was buried next to her daughter.
Mm. Pancreatic cancer sucks.
So, I mean, she couldn't win for losing throughout her whole life.
Right.
I mean, right from the very beginning, how do you kick your child, your young teenage child, out of your house? And then she has to go and take care of herself? I mean, she's raped, she has babies, she gives them up for adoption, she finally gets married, gets divorced, and gets cancer and dies.
Right.
I mean, that's sad.
I do love that she only did 3 years.
I know, me too.
I do love a good vigilante story, especially one like this where it's like that motherfucker was taking the hormones so that he could basically reverse
and do what he did the other times to another innocent child.
Well, and that's, you know, so then it's, you know, I, devil's advocate, is that how many lives did she save by killing him?
Exactly. And you know what I like about her? I like the fact that this wasn't a knee jerk.
No.
She knew exactly what she was doing. She had to have thought about it for that whole year. She knew exactly what she was doing, and she owned it. She didn't try to play, I'm mentally unstable, or I didn't know, or I was under duress.
Her patience.
She's a badass.
Yeah.
And she, and to me, she did exactly what she was supposed to do.
Well, just the patience that she, like, that year. Could you imagine sitting there for a year before the trial?
I can't.
I would just be like, no. You need to put this fucker. Oh, thank God that they didn't have, like, you know, like, that would never happen here because we have all these, you know, the detectors and stuff like that. So, like, you can't wear a fucking underwire bra into
exactly.
it. Oh, I, and, but you know what? Because, and especially in, like, sex offender cases, I know that there's various degrees and I know that there are a lot of different things that you can be labeled as a sex offender as. But this motherfucker strangled a 6-year-old, got caught, and didn't even...
The court system failed when they put him on 1 year of probation.
Right.
If he had been put in jail, in prison like he should have been, those other two girls wouldn't have gotten...
Hurt.
Sexually abused. And Anna wouldn't have. I just...
That's some serial killer shit, too, because he had the tights.
Right.
They were both strangled with the tights.
Yep.
So it's like, he was obviously had a pattern. He had a type.
Honestly, she saved a lot of lives by doing what she did. You know, a lot of people, they don't condone the vigilantism like the guardian angels?
Yeah.
And actually, there is, or was in the 70s, another one called the Lavender Angels.
Oh, right. Yeah, we were going to do a story.
We were going to do it. And I don't know if something came up or... but a lot of people don't agree with that. And I'm not saying that everybody should be out wielding a gun and taking matters into their own hands. But that's real personal. It's, you know, and there was another one I was thinking about, too. About the dad... who his son was sexually abused and raped, and he was the convict or the monster that did that to his son was being extradited, so he found out what flight this guy was on and basically shot him dead. in the airport. And he got off with nothing.
There was a lady. It was a Snapped episode, and I wish I could remember her name because I'd love to do the story. But she confronted, I don't know if it was a brother-in-law or something, and then he admitted that he had, like, sexually assaulted her daughter. She emptied a gun into him in the front of the Lowe's, fills it back up.
Oh, I saw that.
Does it again. And then she goes right to the police department. She yep. turned herself right in. And I don't, if she did jail time, it wasn't much. But it was like, and I know that people are like, I could never do that.
I could.
And I'm not saying that, like, again, we're not saying that you should. But then again, it's like, you gotta weigh your pros and cons. And these people did that. And in this case that we were just talking about, I mean, I think that I would have done the same thing.
It's not for everybody. You know, not everybody's going to agree with us, but
the justice,
you got to do what you feel is the right thing for you.
And my thing would have been, so I know she wanted to stop the lies about her daughter and that kind of stuff. But I also feel like, for me, part of it would have been, this guy's never going to hurt a kid again. And I'm going to make damn sure of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like,
and I get what she said, though. She wanted to shoot him in his face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because that's personal. Like,
yeah, that's real
look
personal.
Into my eyes.
I want to see you see me with right. my gun. But I really got into this one. And it's, they're not always, you know, our podcasts are kind of on the depressing side sometimes.
Yeah, not that.
But in a way, this was almost like a happy ending to me.
Yeah, this one.
Because she took care of business and she owned it.
Right.
She was empowered.
And ultimately, like I said, how many lives did she save? And who's to say that he wasn't going to be getting the shit kicked out of him day one when, no, they probably would have put him in protective custody for his, you know.
Oh, probably, because
year or whatever he would have gotten again.
Yeah. As if they don't like child molesters in prison.
No.
You know what? Some of these countries have the right idea.
And that's like, that's the thing why everything's so interesting, because, you know, there's, you know, sometimes I believe in an eye for an eye. And then there's other people who are like, well, then the world would be blind. Not really, because
I think, like, there's some countries, like, if somebody's caught stealing, they'll cut their hand off. I think that's a little excessive, but I think they're definitely getting their point across. Keep your hands to yourself.
Right. That's the thing, it's like, like, serial killers and stuff aren't, they keep going because they're not deterred by jail.
Right.
Like, that doesn't,
I mean, honestly, that's a whole nother podcast, but,
right.
I mean, what kind of deterrence is getting 3 meals a day, a nice warm place to sleep, and your schooling paid for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but that's not a deterrent to me.
No.
But that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get me started about free education.
No. Don't get Kelly started. But anyway, that's our podcast for today.
And I'm hoping that our next one, I'm gonna finish it up. I'm very excited about it. I got really into it, but it's very long because he took out a lot of people.
Oh dear.
So, yes. So I'm hoping that will definitely be our next show. So we're finally back, and we hope you guys keep listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.